Welcome to episode 88 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite 2018. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure, and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. We also wanted to fill you in on the next conference Scott and I will be attending. It will be December 2 through 7 down in sunny Orlando again at the Live 360 conference. Join us down there to learn about a slew of IT topics as you get six conferences all crammed into one. Check out the show notes for more information about the conference. On to this episode. In this episode, Scott sits down with Erica Telly to talk with her all about advanced data governance. Now let's dive into the interview.
I'm sitting at Microsoft Ignite with Erica Telly, who is a product evangelist for RecordPoint, and we're going to talk a little bit about data governance today. You want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Scott. Yeah, as you said, I'm Erica Telly. I'm from Seattle. I'm a geek about enterprise content management and records management and then kind of the security and compliance workload.
What a nice thing to be geeky about.
I know, right? Well, it's kind of interesting when you are have so much many constraints on what you can do in an organization, you have to be more creative with what you do in those constraints.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
I just find it really interesting.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at office365mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with office365mon.com.
Awesome. So why don't we talk a little bit about data governance and what's happening in Office 365 these days and some of those workloads and where customers might run into issues or if they try and consume more advanced workloads. What are the walls they hit? Where do they need to go outside it?
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Well, so the main feature set in Office 365 in particular is called the Security and Compliance Center and the Advanced Data Governance features. So in that, there's really three categories of features that marketing has created for us. So first would be labeling, so the ability to categorize things and put, label it. The second would be retention. So retention is either making sure you're keeping things and preventing it from being deleted, or that you are making sure it is deleted.
Yeah, at the right time.
Yeah. And then the third category is what they call supervision, which is just the ability to be able to have access to somebody's information or communications like IMs or emails and things.
Being able to do compliance through e-discovery and understanding where data resides and how we can do extract. Should we be culpable and have to pull something out?
Yeah, sure.
Very cool. So why don't we talk a little bit about kind of labeling and classifications and what's going on that side?
Sure. So Microsoft, of course, just like any other area, has been really innovating in this space and releasing new features on a pretty regular basis. So at the core, we have our labels, which allow you to apply a category, like maybe that it's highly sensitive, that it's a finance document, that it contains a social security number, and you're able to either apply that manually or automatically. I think automatic is the more interesting one because end users don't manually label things, as we found out through our SharePoint days.
Yeah, it's living the dream, and it's been difficult to consume labels on the client side.
Yeah.
Depending on your experience and where you interact with it, we tend to tell folks like, oh, it's Office 365, it's magical, you can just do anything from anywhere. Except when you're on a Mac or you're on your mobile device or you're doing this, that, or the other thing. So there's been a couple announcements. Like they have added labels to workloads on Office 2019 on a Mac, which is nice, but it's still only kicking around in preview and not really, you know, fit for real-world consumption yet.
It's so true. And I think the other confusing thing that I should probably touch on before we dive too deeply into the specifics of the features is that there's actually kind of multiple types of compliance labels right now. They are trying to unify them, but they are separate right now. So there's Azure Information Protection labels, which are things that are related to the rights management features, mm-hmm. like what we used to call information rights management, which is the ability to lock down a file and have the security follow the file around. And then there's also some labels that are happening in the new Cloud App Security product. The Azure Information Protection labels and Cloud App Security have become the same thing in some respects. And then they've announced that Advanced Data Governance labels will become Azure Information Protection labels, but that just hasn't happened yet.
Just waiting for that to all kind of congeal and come together. Yeah, I noticed that a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a month or two ago, I was doing a new like little mini partner playbook on EMS, and it's all just out there. So depending on your client and how you come in and where you come in and how do you administer it versus roll it out to the users tends to be a pretty confusing thing. And the licensing's all over the place too, depending on how you've come in. Did I come in from the Office 365 lens? Did I happen to have an enterprise and mobility license, EMS, or did I maybe just come in straight from Azure and decide like, hey, that RMS thing sounded really cool and I'd like to do that. And then I tacked on Office 365 later.
You are exactly right. And I'm not a licensing specialist. I would always defer to a Microsoft employee
or your
favorite reseller.
The certifiable ones, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, let's maybe talk a little bit about when you would want to use which type of label, right?
Yeah. So I'd imagine they kind of work against different workloads too. So we want to maybe follow documents or classify documents, but there's also other constructs out there. There's objects like sites. And a site's not a document and it's not following you on your desktop. You're just going to it in a web browser.
So the way I kind of think about it is you want to use Azure Information Protection for the most part when you need those rights management features. So you need to be able to say, don't print this email, don't forward the email, don't allow this document to be downloaded on a non-domain joined machine, where you need the security to follow the file around. Whereas the ADG labels are more useful when you want to apply it at a site level or a document library level, and you want kind of everything that's inside that document library level to be governed.
Yeah, we want that inheritance model to kind of flow downstream. And just to be clear, this is separate from things like SharePoint limited access and conditional access policies and being able to lock down downloads and everything else that way. It's kind of
platform versus
authentication and authorization. And
yeah, when I'm browsing the docs documentation, those what you just described are under kind of more the security feature mm-hmm. set, whereas the labeling we've been talking about would be considered compliance. So if you want to learn more about that, that's how they kind of break it down.
Awesome. And then you've got to kind of target your workload from there. So SharePoint site and then potentially Teams, because Teams documents are just in SharePoint sites and being able to run all those all those down and around. So from a labeling perspective, kind of how do labels manifest? So you've got to go create a label and then either leave it out there manually or then go and create a policy and associate it with that policy?
Yeah, so there's two steps to create a label. Number one, you actually create the label itself. That's where you decide, will it have retention associated with it? And what will happen when it reaches the end of the retention period? And then the second step is to create what they call a label policy, which is where you want it to be deployed and how. So do you want it to just be deployed to SharePoint? Do you want it to be automatically applied? That's where you set those settings.
Gotcha. And then, you know, configuring those and kind of carrying them downstream. I'd imagine if somebody's just getting into it, it can be a little bit hard to understand maybe the impact of labels or what's going to happen. So implementing retention isn't always for mere mortals. Microsoft's trying to democratize it a little bit and give you next interfaces. Is there a way that, you know, somebody who manages a tenancy can go in and say, here's our retention policy and we're going to kind of map it in, but we just want to see what happens. But, you know, maybe we want to apply labels, but we want to go back and apply policy later. So I want to understand the impact of if I create highly confidential and sensitive and, you know, maybe public and push those three labels out there, their consumption across the workloads?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, if you are an IT person, I would recommend checking with your compliance officer, your legal counsel, and working with them to help define what the core...
Oh yeah, no, I'm a big fan of that, right? Like IT is not the one who creates policy, they just implement it. So go find the people who are actually creating the policy and modeling it and work with them, because it might not actually work from a programmatic or kind of platform perspective, the way that it's written on a piece of paper. So you might actually need to go back and augment it a little bit and say, hey, this magic thing that you had written down on paper that we've never done in the real world anyway, because it was just written on a piece of paper, now that we're going to do it, it needs to map into specific technologies we consume and what that's all going to kind of come together and look like.
Yeah, and I would say more so than maybe some other features, I wouldn't actually test these out in production at all, and I'll explain why in just a moment, but do get a test tenant with fake content in it, either through a E3 trial or something, and just figure out how they work a little bit, because once you start messing around with retention, you can do things like accidentally permanently delete a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Or lock down a section of files from being able to be edited on accident. The other thing to keep in mind is right now you can only apply one label at a time. And so when you have a conflict between, you know, two automatic labels both applying to the same document,
yep,
the label that was created first by the admin will be the one applied.
Excellent.
So there's not a way to set priority right now. I'm not sure, you know, I think that's something they're very well aware of and I hope to see fixed soon. You have to plan it out maybe a bit more than some other things because the order in which you create the labels right now is important.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
Cool. So trial tenant, spin it up, see what it's going to do, maybe migrate some content over with and then your SharePoint migration tools or something like that. And there's also fast track tenants for folks that need those. You can potentially, you know, get extended trials and,
exactly,
and not go through the process of the guy in a bunker in North Dakota calling you and saying, have you bought it yet?
Yeah, so do your learning and figure it out and be able to create the plan and then go do it in production.
Awesome. We've got the label out there and we've got a policy. So what can we do with policies? I know you mentioned retention and building out those rules and document life cycles. Can we apply retention to other constructs or is it just limited to kind of documents today?
Today it's just limited to documents. Specifically, you can do a couple things. You can use DLP policies to identify sensitive information and apply a label. And then they've also announced that coming soon, you'll be able to automatically apply labels based on properties that are in the Office 365 search index. So for example, you could say if content type equals finance or any of the child content, yep, types, then automatically apply this label.
Awesome. So if you are going down the ECM path, which you're probably a little bit more mature if you're looking at retention and policies and everything else anyway, now there's a way to kind of bring that back in and say, based on HR documentation or legal or whatever it happens to be, apply the classification and then go ahead and chip us in.
Yeah, and my understanding just from the limited amount of information they've released so far about this is any property, almost any property. So you could do
anything
site.
Within the search index?
Yeah, anything in the search index. So,
perfect.
You know, that'll make it, I think, a lot easier to automate some of these things.
Well, that would help a bunch too, just even kind of bringing in managed properties or custom properties that maybe don't exist or associated with content types today and be able to have coverage kind of across the board.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't announced the specifics of whether it'll just be the standard properties or you can bring in your custom, but let's hope it's the latter.
Cool. Anything else with retention that folks should know?
No, I think we're good.
All good. So that kind of takes us through a little bit of that first pillar. What do you want to dive into next? We got cloud app security. We had some other components in there.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about cloud app security because I think it's a really interesting product that hasn't gotten a lot of airtime yet. Office 365, I think, is the best collaboration technology, we can all agree. But in a large organization or any organization, people might also be using things like Box or G Suite or some other collaboration tools.
That does happen.
So Microsoft, through Cloud App Security, has provided us with a tool set to start managing and governing some of that content as well using the Microsoft feature set.
Yep. So just for those that aren't familiar, Cloud App Security at a kind of client or component level. It gives you the ability to deploy an agent down to your devices, hopefully their managed devices, because it's effectively running a local proxy, reports all that telemetry back to a cloud service, and you can understand thousands and thousands of different applications that may or may not be consumed within the organization. And then one of my favorite things about that one is, you know, as long as you're licensed for it and you can kind of get through rollout, is you do have the ability to turn it on in a monitoring capacity and watch for a little while and then come back and say, you know, we're ready to do some additional adoption or training within the organization. We want to go out and kind of educate and win hearts and minds. So we can't just take Box and drop Box away and transition people to OneDrive, but we can certainly go out and train them about it, tell them here's what it is, here's what it's coming, and oh, by the way, here's how we're going to get you there, and this thing's going to go away on this date. And then you can use that same tooling to lock effectively those managed devices out of those components.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So basically, you'll get a list of the applications being used in your organization. You can also see who's using it if you're using yep. Azure Rights Management, and then kind of track that. And then also you can, and this is a little bit more of a beta feature, but for eight of kind of the core collaboration technologies like G Drive and Box, you can also go so far as to scan the information in those sources for sensitive information using DLP policies.
Oh, cool. I didn't even realize that they added that and could hook
it. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't tested it at scale yet, but that's how it works.
Awesome. So they do have a couple of tie-ins there. And I know that's kind of like the Azure AD cloud app security side of it. There's a part of that that's in the security and compliance center as well, right, where you're going in and creating the actual like alerts around things. And
well, they have a link to it in the admin center,
right? Like, yeah.
But the link just takes you to the Azure one.
Yeah. It just flips over. I always go through the Azure side of it, so I get confused when I go to, you know, protection.office.com. It's like, it's all weird over here. It's not Blades. It's just...
It's technically the same portal, yeah.
All right. Very cool. And then you mentioned advanced data governance a couple times. So ADG. Why don't we kind of talk about that one and maybe where folks might hit a wall? I imagine that turns into kind of one of the, like, 80-20 things where Microsoft might cover 80% of it, and it's maybe not going to be 100% based on your organization and workloads that you're actually running today.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, that's why Microsoft has such a strong ecosystem of people building products on top of their tools, right? Because it tends to be the Microsoft features 80% of the time work out of the box, but then you have a specialized situation where they don't, and where you can look at a third-party tool built on the Microsoft stack. So in particular, ADG labels for records management. If you're trying to get rid of redundant, obsolete, trivial information and just do some more general keeping of your information, then the ADG labels work really well. You can do as many labels as you want. For usability purposes, we found maybe up to about 20 is a good number before they start getting a little confusing about what's being applied where and how.
Could be a little unwieldy, especially for like manual classifications.
Exactly.
Yeah. If it's a perfect world, yeah, you have thousands of the things, but not when only the first one wins.
Yeah. But if you are a highly regulated or government organization, it might not be enough for you if you're trying to do really more records management retention.
Yeah, if we have some kind of DoD compliance level that we need to meet, it's not always built into the product.
It's very common. Even state and local government have regulations they have to comply with, and often regulations at the local level, the state level, and the national level. And so I've seen file plans that are more, you know, hundreds of rows. So it doesn't quite work yet to translate 100 row file plan and execute it all with ADG labels. So that's a situation where you might want to look at maybe a technology built on top of Microsoft that could help you with that.
Gotcha.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
I'd imagine you'd want to look that way too if you are consuming multiple workloads and kind of running out, because where you might have a connection through something like Cloud App Security to understand how a tool is used and maybe kind of sort of apply a DLP policy in beta form. Again, the reality is you probably run those today. So having something that's externalized and somebody who works with those platforms and understands them really well probably has some tangible benefits at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, I think we're in such an interesting kind of shift in the IT world right now, because with things like Azure and those tools, it used to be that if you wanted to build a records management system, you would have to build it in a platform like SharePoint. And you would build your whole system in there, manage your content, and it would cover the SharePoint content. But now with things like Azure, you can build a purpose-built application just for records management in Azure, and then have it connect out to the other systems you want to manage. So, you know, you can connect it to OneDrive, Teams, SharePoint, even things like file share or Box or Dropbox, because they all have APIs that you can access to see the data. With Azure, you can have more of a purpose-built application where you can build your records management system in Azure and then use APIs to connect to all of your other content systems where your content lives. You can see it, you can read it, and you can manage it as a record there from the application that's hosted in Azure. So you're not getting locked into one technology forever, because records are on their time horizon is 5 years, 10 years, yep. 20 years. Who knows 20 years from now what the hot content technology is going to be? It may not even have been invented yet. Like Teams is only 2 years old, right? So if you have that purpose-built application in Azure, you can just connect to that system when it becomes available.
Yeah, and just to be clear, you know, you're not recommending everybody goes out there and builds their own custom records management. It's not always for mere mortals to go ahead and consume that, but there are places that you can look on the outside and say, all right, who does this? Does it actually work with the systems that I need to work? And kind of what are the technologies maybe? Like, so I always used to ask that question to vendors when I'd bring them in. Like, what platforms do you build on? You know, are you on Azure today? And can I connect and maybe interact with your data in different ways? Are you on AWS or GCP? Is it this weird thing that I need to install on a server under my desk? Like, really, how mature are
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
And where does that all fall out? Very cool. Anything else you think anybody should know about in that space?
You know, I think we've covered a lot today. And if you have any questions, you can always contact us online, and we're happy to help.
Very cool. So, where can everyone find you online? So I know you're on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Erica Telly on Twitter. I'm sure we can put the link
yep,
in the description.
We'll have it in the show notes.
And then RecordPoint is the company I work for. So we build a purpose-built records management tool on Azure and that we can connect to lots of systems. So always happy to talk more about that too.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.